No, it's gonna get that.
Well, that's great news. You're gonna work and pray every day in the vineyard of the Lord. That's exactly where you need to turn in your Bible, to the book of Haggai or Haggai or however you're supposed to pronounce the guy's name. Can you find it? Go ahead. Haggai. Old Testament, kind of toward the end, in the section known as the Minor Prophets. They're called Minor Prophets because they're short. Most of them are. And there's a book of them. There's a book of the 12. We've got visitors from, I don't know where all you all are from, but I'm sure glad you're here. You know, when we get to the end of Haggai chapter 2, these guys back here about two rows behind you, they know that's the clue that, hey, we're done. So when we get to the end of Haggai chapter 2, we're done. You got it? All right. Nathan, you got it? I said I'd call you. I have Minor Prophets. You're ready. It's just great to have those of you from Kentucky and Tennessee, East and West, and from Limestone County. We're delighted that all of you have chosen to come and share with us today. Some of you are here with heavy hearts, but you're here because you honor God and you serve Him. Some may not be feeling so well, but you're here because you love and honor God. And we're delighted to be able to share with you from Haggai. I want to apologize to all of you who are working so hard with the Vacation Bible School. Cindy and I are bummed. We look forward to the opportunities to be with the Rock Church. Can you imagine that kind of church? It's Rock Church because the walls are about 18 inches thick in Dixon County, Tennessee, starting next Sunday. It's like a Civil War kind of building. Montgomery Bell. And so next Sunday, beginning then through that following Friday, we'll be right there in the middle of Dixon County, Tennessee. But we're missing our Vacation Bible School. I'm sorry, guys. I really wish I could be here with you. Hopefully next year, I've been told by Sarah Daly, we'll put it on the books so there will be no conflict. But we're looking forward to being with you in Vacation Bible School next year. Appreciate all of you who are working so hard to get ready for that. Haggai. Who is that guy? When did he live? What was he doing? What is he about? And then consider your ways, or I want you to think about this. Contemplate on this. What is it that he wants us to consider? So we're going to walk through that with the next few minutes. Did you notice it's only two chapters? And so it's really going to be a short study. And it's going to be one that I hope that will impact you for the rest of your lives. Here's the order of Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Somebody put those in that order. I'm not sure who it was, but it's kind of, sort of, chronological. Haggai and Zechariah are team teachers in 520 B.C. Haggai is a nuts and bolts kind of guy. He's a go get your hammer, let's go get some lumber, let's get some nails, and let's get to building this thing that hasn't been built for quite some time. But here's a potential chronological listing of these guys. And you see that asterisk by the Obadiah guy? Some people think he prophesied in the 800s. I tend to think he might have prophesied right about the time Babylon was attacking Judah. But you can think about that some more. And we're not really sure about Joel because it was when the locust plague hit. More than one locust plague. So we can't be definite about all the dates of all of these guys. But when we get to Haggai and Zechariah, we can nail it. Because it's in the second year of King Artaxerxes. No, I told you wrong. King Darius. I'm getting my Ezra facts messed up. And so maybe I should just stick with the text and read the text to make sure we get it right. So Darius is the king of the Persians when Haggai is speaking. For those of you who weren't in class this morning, just some dates to kind of ground you, give you a foundation. 586, temple's destroyed. Then people come back after Cyrus makes an announcement in 539. People come back 538 to 536.
and Babylon has fallen, and now the Persians are telling God's people, you can go back home, rebuild your temple. Then we have the returnees under Zerubbabel, and they get started, and they get to building, and the old people are crying because it's not very impressive, and the young people are rejoicing because, hey, we're getting started, and we're building the house of God, and the Persians are encouraging that. But now it's 520. Now it's about 16 years later, and we just haven't got it done. We've sang, I'm going to work every day. We're saying God is great. We're saying we want to serve God. But it's not happening. Now, there are some things happening at our house, but not at his house. And so Haggai is going to come on the scene. He and Zechariah and are going to challenge the people. I'm going to keep trying. Hey, there we go. Background of Haggai. I don't know him. I don't know where he's from. I don't know his mom and dad. I'm told that his name means festive or festival. He's clearly been assigned by God to be a prophet, to speak on behalf of God. And he's going to talk about the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, over and over in his message. And he's going to appeal to the people to arise and rebuild the Lord's house. And you can see the dates as you open your Bible in chapter 1. It's in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came to him. Chapter 2, verse 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came. And then one more, and the 24th day, a second message in verse 20 of chapter 2. So that gives you kind of a skeleton outline of the message. What's going on in Israel? Cyrus has said you can go home. We'll fund it. We'll give you all the money you need. We'll give you all the materials you need. You can get the Tyre folks to bring down the lumber from up in Tyre and Sidon. Cyrus has said that whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. No government interference. There's government support for the building of the wall. But what begins on the temple is the building of the foundation. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men, who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of the house being laid. In my mind, I'm going back to Hartselle, Alabama. And I'm thinking about the first house we ever built. And I'm thinking about the day that footing was poured, and then that the blocks were laid. And I'm thinking, that's it? You know, foundations aren't always very impressive. Now, they're very critical, but they're not always very impressive. And then you look at it and you think, wow. And what these people are doing is they're thinking, man, when Solomon built that temple, what glory it was, how huge it was, how large it was. This thing looked a little kind of tiny dinky. This doesn't look very impressive at all. This is kind of a bummer. This is not surely what all God has intended here. And then the people just quit. They quit because of COVID. I mean, they quit because... I did mean to say that. They quit because somebody said, you can't meet here because it's dangerous. And if you don't think so, we'll come and shoot you if you try. I mean, use a sword on you. And so the enemies start saying, we're going to shut this thing down. And so everybody says, okay, we'll stay home. We won't meet. Government said we can't meet. What are we going to do? We're going to quit. And then the government finally said, oh, okay, you can meet. In fact, you'll notice those letters back and forth in the book of Ezra. The enemies are saying, government says you can't build. King says you can build. But since the enemies around here don't want us to build, we won't build. So if we can't build God's house, where did you hang out during COVID? Your house, wasn't it? You built your house, didn't you? We planted. We did all the landscape work. We did all the fixing up of our houses. I mean, Home Depot and Lowe's, they're booming, right? We're busy, busy, busy building our house. But maybe not so much building God's house. By the way, we are the temple of God. So we got hit with COVID and we quit. They got hit with enemies who said, we don't want you back here. This isn't your land anymore. We don't want you building any temple for your God. This is our land now. And so Haggai's got to speak to that. And so it doesn't look really good. It's kind of hard to get people motivated to build in that kind of a situation. And so God's going to tell Haggai, you got to get in their face. You got to say some things to them for them to think and to wake up. And so we're going to start reading in Haggai chapter 1. It's in the second year of King Darius. On the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, that's the governor, and to Joshua, that's the high priest. The Lord Almighty, I was listening to the NIV this morning, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Almighty, the word of the Lord says, this translation says, the Lord of hosts says this, these people say, the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. We've been back home 16 years. It's not quite right timing to build. After all, aren't interest rates up right now? After all, it might rain this summer. It's just not quite the right time to be focusing on what God told us to do. So the word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? And so notice, he's going to say, I want you to think with me. This translation says, think carefully. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, never have enough to be filled. You put on clothes, never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts wages in his bag with a hole in it. Now what's happened? So consider, the Lord of hosts says this, think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, build the house. Then I'll be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but it amounted to little. When you brought the harvest to your house, I ruined it. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts. Because my house still lies in ruins while each of you is busy with his own house. So on your account, the skies have withheld the dew. Just like I told you in Deuteronomy 28. You don't put me first. You worship yourself. You worship your idols. I'm going to turn off the water. I'm going to let the land dry out. And your crops are not going to produce. I've summoned a drought on the fields and the hills, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, whatever the ground yields on man and beast. And on all that your hands produce. Things aren't going well. And for them, the only way they could measure whether they were in a right relationship with God was based on the word of the prophets and the events regarding the productivity of the land around them. So Zerubbabel, what's he been doing the last 16 years? He's the governor. He's the one especially sent by Cyrus to build this thing. And Joshua, the high priest, what's he been doing? Well, now they're listening to Haggai, and the entire remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. So the people feared the Lord. So what's Haggai's job? Haggai's job is to say, look at this. It's a mess. How long is this going to last? God sent us here to rebuild His house. And for the last 16 years, this is all we've gotten done? Do you ever figure out why things haven't been going so well? Consider. Think about. Think deeply. Governor, 16 years and this is all you got? High priest, are you not challenging the people? God is stirring up the spirit of Haggai to say to the people, get the lumber, get the hammers, get the nails, carve the stones, and let's get to building. So Haggai, the Lord's messenger, delivered the Lord's message to the people. Huge. I am with you. Do you see that verse? I am with you. This is the Lord's sacrifice. You seek me first. You focus on my house first, and I'm with you. And everything else is going to be taken care of. You hear that throughout the scriptures. I am with you. We'll finish there. Guys, when you hear the Matthew 28, you know, I am with you. And so the Lord stirs up the spirit of Zerubbabel. I don't know all about how He does that, but He's certainly doing it through prophets like Haggai and Zechariah. And He's stirring up the spirit of Joshua. And He's stirring up the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they began work on the house of God, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. 24 days, 3.5 weeks, construction begins. It doesn't take a year of planning committee to get this thing started. 3 weeks, and we're on it. They have a focus on the Lord. The Lord has stirred up their hearts. Haggai saying, nuts, bolts, hammers, nails, axes, saw these stones, chisel these stones. Zechariah saying, you got to see the glory of this. You got to see the greatness of this. This looks like it's small. This looks like it's little. Don't despise the day of small things, Zechariah. You think this is little? God's going to do some great things here. So they began the work on the house of God, their God, on the 24th day of the second year of Darius. Consider your ways. That looks like Frank Lloyd Wright, doesn't it? If any of you into the architecture stuff like our daughter. Looks like one of Frank Lloyd Wright's neat houses up in Chicago, in fact. What's your paneled house? We built a house in Hartsel. We built a house in Coleman. We built a house in Lafayette. We had one built in Tennessee. Bought another one. Nice houses. Bought one over here on Carillon, real close to Renee and Joanne Hood. I can get consumed with houses. I love that stuff. I especially like it when my friend Jerry comes over and helps me fix stuff. Or Tyler comes and helps me wire, and Andy comes and helps me fix things, and others of you have been there to fix things. I like houses a lot. And one of the dangers for me is when I move someplace and we build a new house, guess what I do the first 9 months when we move? You got it. Spend my time, spend my money on building my house. While God's people don't get much attention. Is that good? No, it's not. So everybody has their paneled houses. We all have stuff that gets in the way of serving God. All of us. I don't know what yours is. I'm just telling you what mine is. But there are lots of different things. Sometimes it's our house. Sometimes it's our toys. And big boys have big toys. You noticed. And sometimes it is just our trade or our occupation that just drives me 60, 70 hours a week, and there's no time left for God, there's no time left for me, there's no time left for family. And sometimes it's recreation. Sometimes we entertain ourselves to death. In fact, there was a book written about that by Neil Postman not too long ago. That we just do so much recreation, the pleasures of this life just consume us. I mean, 2-3 hours a day just playing video games, we're worn out. And not just video games, there's lots of different kinds of recreation. And then sometimes it's sports. And about this time of year, and I'm remembering June, I remember All-Stars, I remember sixth grade All-Stars real clearly. You see, I can even remember back to when I was 12 years old. Isn't that amazing? And I remember how all I could think about was, boy, I hope it don't rain. Oh no, an All-Star game on Wednesday night. What am I going to do? Well, am I going to build God's house? Or am I going to focus on my paneled house? And so there's just all kinds of things at different ages that just wear us out with not focusing on God's house. So Haggai knows that's a problem. He knows it's a challenge. And he's going to ask us to look at another message. 6 month, we're ready to go. We're building. How are you feeling in 7th month? 21st day of the 7th month, chapter 2. The word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. This is God's word. The prophet's only the messenger. You need to speak to Zerubbabel. You need to talk to leaders. You need to speak to the high priest. You need to talk to governing officials. You need to talk to spiritual officials. And you need to talk to everybody, the remnant of the people. Everybody who's left among you who saw the former glory, how does it look to you now? Does it seem like nothing to you? Even so, be strong. This might look like a little thing. You need to be strong, Zerubbabel. Joshua, you need to be strong. All you people of the land, you need to be strong. This is the Lord's declaration. Work, for I am with you. This is not your work, this is my work. You're working for me. I am with you. This is for my glory. I made a promise to you and I brought you out of Egypt. My spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. Buying houses is kind of scary. You sign your name and you think, man, I'm in debt for the rest of my life. We're also afraid of, there's this thing called tornadoes. You ever seen one? There's hail. There's all kinds of devastation. What if I get sick and die? Who's going to pay the mortgage then? But see, for them, they got people who are saying, if you build this house, we're going to come and kill you. Now that gets later with the walls of Nehemiah. But there are people who are mocking them, making fun of them, ridiculing them. And it's hard to get up and start building when everybody's telling you, what a dump of a place you're building. That's exactly what the enemy's doing. They're demoralizing them. And it intimidates us and we get afraid. Now, for all you macho guys who say you never get afraid, let's talk later. And so God knows, and Haggai knows, don't be afraid. For the Lord of armies says, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all the nations so that all the treasures of all the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver and the gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. The final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of hosts. I'll provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the El Shaddai. And so Haggai is saying, God is with you. Why are you afraid? Why will you not step up? Keep on going. Don't quit, Renee. Don't quit. Yeah, you fail. Yeah, you quit. Get up and go again. Start over. Some of you have had to do that in various aspects of your life. Many of us have. So now look, it's about 2 months later. And on the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet. This is what the Lord of hosts says. Ask the priest for a ruling. If a man is carrying consecrated meat in the fold of his garment and it touches some bread or some stew or some wine or some oil or any other food, does it become holy? If you got some holy something on you, does the fact that something else rubbed against it make that other thing holy? You know, sometimes we think that way. We think, well, I know I've not been living holy. I know I've not been talking right. I've not been living right. I've not been drinking right. I've not been thinking right. I've not been smoking right. But maybe if I go to church on Sunday, there'll be enough holiness to rub off on me and everything will be good for the next week. What's the priest say? No. Then Haggai asked, if someone defiled by contact with a corpse touches any of these, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest answered. It becomes defiled. We can't come in defiled and think somehow by rubbing shoulders with somebody who might be holy, it's going to make us holy. So Haggai replies, so is this people and so is the nation before me. This is the Lord's declaration. And so is every work of their hands. Even what they offer there is defiled. We can't be defiled people and think somehow our sacrifices are just going to be acceptable to God. You can't bring in the lame and the blind and the deaf and think it's going to be okay. I can't serve myself all week and just think everything's going to be good on the Lord's day. So now reflect back from the day before one stone was placed on another in the Lord's temple. What state were you in? Look at where things were back there when the foundation had moss growing on it. When someone comes to a grain heap, 20 measures, it only amounts to 10. When you come to the wine press to get your grape juice, to get your wine, it only amounts to 20 after 50 measures. I struck you, all the work of your hands, with blight, mildew, hail, but you didn't turn to me. This is the Lord's declaration. Consider carefully from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it carefully. Is there still seed left in the granary? The vine, the fig, the pomegranate, the olive tree have not yet produced, but you this day on, I will bless you. You turn back to me, you've made my house your priority, and everything's going to be taken care of. I will be with you. I will bless you. Finally, and I know I'm not keeping up well with the slides, I want you to think about the future glory. It's not a physical comparison. The temple of Zerubbabel was always little compared to Solomon's temple. It never got bigger. Until Herod the Great decided that he's going to make this massive thing. But the glory of the Lord was not in the physical building. The glory of the Lord was when Jesus walked into that temple. When God with us walked in, that's what made it holy. And we are God's holy temple when we let Jesus walk into our hearts. When we let Jesus rule our lives, that's what makes us God's holy temple. It doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are, how many handicaps you have, what your health condition is. When God dwells in your heart, you are a glory to the Lord. And so is this church. The people of God, when God dwells among us, when God is with us, when we are focused on God and His work and His glory, that's when God has moved us to be His people. And so there's a promise, though. There's something lingering that they're waiting for. And Zechariah says, don't despise this little building. There's the greater glory of the Lord that is coming. The hands of Zerubbabel will have laid the foundation of this house, and His hands will finish it. Then you'll know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Remember asking Austin about plumb lines? He said, well, we use laser now. When you see the laser in the hand of the builder, Zerubbabel started this thing, and you're going to see Zerubbabel finish it. But there's a more important connection with Zerubbabel than building a physical temple. And that fourth promise is, on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I'll make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. You think I've forgotten my promises about a Messiah to come. You think I've forgotten about the promise of the one who would be of the descendants of David, who would build a house and it would last forever. I have not forgotten. And guess what? Zerubbabel is the man who's leading you to the Messiah. And so when you read in Matthew 1 and you read in Luke chapter 3, Jesus comes through Zerubbabel. Jesus is the princely king who governs our lives. He's the one who comes to the ultimate rescue of his people. So in conclusion, be strong. Work. Don't be afraid. Trust God and hold on to him and don't be afraid. We continue to work as God's workmanship as the people of God. God is working in us when we're working in and for him. Be strong. Work. Don't be afraid. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus. He's the very cornerstone. It's in him the whole structure joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. It's in him we are being built together into a dwelling place for God. So be strong. Work. Don't be afraid. Timothy was afraid. Timid Timothy was being hammered by some people in Ephesus. Paul knows it. And Paul says, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how a person ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. So from this day onward, you got hands? From a very practical, simplistic standpoint, when Ethan and the deacons and the elders say, there's some stuff we need to do around here, will you show up? Now, it may be a schedule where, well, I can't show up when they called the meeting, but I could come at a different time. Do you remember our study this morning in the rebuilding of the walls? Do you remember the nobles of Tekoa? They wouldn't touch the work. That's too lowly for me. You see, most of our work is not about this building. Most of our work is about the building of God. But the little simple things about just coming and helping clean toilets, clean ceilings, clean furnace filters, just simple stuff. Are you going to do the work? Or are you thinking somebody else will surely do it? What is in your hands? What is in my hands? Will I show up? And so God says, I'm putting the signet ring on Zerubbabel. The authority, the power is through Zerubbabel, my servant. This is the Lord's declaration. And I'm going to make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you. This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts. And so the message of Haggai is simple. Build with, build for the Lord. God's going to provide. He'll provide the glory. He'll provide what you need. Build with clean and holy hands. And look for the coming king who will be coming to the rescue. And so guys, I told you Matthew 28, we're done. You did a good job. You really hung in there. But Jesus, as he is about to go back to his Father, he tells his disciples that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So I want you to go, and I want you to make disciples. I want you to train people. I want you to teach people. And then I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then I want you to teach them some more. And you know what the last thing Jesus says? And I will be with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So when Jesus is with us, we don't need to be afraid, and we work for the glory of the King. Haggai had people get to work, and in 5 years, they got her done. So let us go to work for the Lord, and let us focus our attention on the great King. If you're not yet His servant, we invite you to become one even now as we stand and sing.